this panel is the, I think it's billed as the Happy Squirrel Panel, looking at how tarot decks have evolved and whether, how we feel about new cards being added to the decks. I think that's the way it was described.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Do we need to introduce ourselves, or do we know who we are at this point?
Well, look, a cat hair.
I like introductions because I forget.
Okay.
I do too.
Okay. I go by the name of So Magical, among other things. I've been reading cards since more than 30 years. More like more than 35? I have taught classes both in person and, in real life and online. And I am also within the SCA, Guild Mistress of the East Kingdom Soothsayers Guild. Who's next?
Okay, I might as well go next if we're going across. Well, I'm Shannara Coyote, and I've been reading tarot cards for, I'd say, over 40 years. A few years more than 40 years. I taught myself to read the cards when I was a kid, and I've been reading them ever since. I read tarot professionally now. And I've also taught tarot. My background is Wiccan, holistic. I've got an LCSW for that matter. So when I read, I don't read in a predictive way, but I read in a counseling. For me, reading is more counseling with cards than it is about a prediction or fortune telling or anything like that. So,
I'm Kathy Smith. I don't do anything professionally, and I'm really nowhere near the level of expert these ladies are.
Yeah.
I thought this would be an interesting thing for me to come to, because mostly when I do tarot, I use a very non-standard deck.
Do you use the Oracle decks?
No, I use a deck by R.J. Stewart called the Dream Power Tarot, although I've used his Merlin deck as well. And it has a completely different layout. There's no connection at all to the standard Rider-Waite trumps. It's starting from the ground up, so maybe you shouldn't even call it tarot. But
okay. All right. Since you use a non-mainstream, is there such thing as mainstream tarot? Since you use a non-mainstream deck, why do you use that rather than the more usual ones?
Actually, I do occasionally use a more usual one. It depends on what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for, you know, my friend wants to know if it's a good idea to move in with this new roommate, I'm going to pull out a standard deck. Because that's good for surface questions. Mm. You know, if I pull out the Dream Power deck, I may not get whether you should have that new roommate. I may get how this fits in your the sequence of your past five or six reincarnations. Mm. And you don't want to get that level of really big picture insight with somebody you don't know well, as a rule. That's a little too much information sometimes. So this is more for meditation and self-exploration and maybe for answering somebody who's got a serious, you know, what am I doing with this path question?
Okay.
And occasionally if they ask the same question too many times, it says, shut up, I told you already.
Okay, Shannara, what deck do you use?
Okay. I learned to read on Rider-Waite-Smith, which is your gold standard, which is your mainstream Rider-Waite-Smith and its various clones. The deck I find myself reading with the most often and the deck my clients often most ask me for is James Wanless's Voyager deck. And that, they have an app over here for. Okay.
Oh, you mean there's an app for
There's an app for Voyager Tarot.
Oh,
Nice. Okay, Voyager card a day. This is what the back... Okay. This is what the back of the deck looks like. Okay, this is a DNA molecule that has been magnified about a gazillion times. Voyager deck is a collage deck. James Wanless... Okay, stop shuffle. James Wanless is... He's a great guy. He's about 70. He is a PhD... I forget what his PhD is in. I think it's psychology. And he is a... What do they call it? A conceptualist. A symbolist. S-Y-M-B-O-L-I-S-T. And the Voyager deck, if you're going to look at what happens with the cards... I'll pass this around for a sample. He's got, instead of cups, wands, swords, and pentacles, he's got a symbol on there. Well, the cards are all collage. It is a traditional tarot deck in that it has a major arcana of cards 0 to 21. And it has four suits, cups, wands, crystals for swords, and worlds for pentacles. And it has cards 1 to 10 of each of the minor arcana suits, plus four court or family cards. They are not called page, knight, king, queen, but they are called child, man, woman, and sage. On that, so your standard layout, if a tarot deck is standard, in my opinion, as far as being tarot, it's going to have 22 major arcanas. It's going to have four suits representing the four elements that are numbered 1 to 10. And it's going to have, in each suit, it's going to have four court or family or people cards that go from progression from the younger in energy to the older in energy. So that's a standard tarot card. So that's my favorite deck. That's the one I read with the most often. That's the one my clients generally ask me for, and I love it.
Okay. Where... It used to be that what you found in the stores was tarot decks. And then a few years ago, the... I don't know what you want to call them, oracle decks... started mm-hmm. showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Where do those fit into the tarot landscape, as it were? Are they intruders, or are they what's the word?
Cousin.
Pardon?
Like cousin or family? Like welcome.
Yeah.
Homeless.
Well,
yeah.
They're not tarot.
No,
they're divination cards, yes. They're oracle cards, yes. You're looking at them for information, whether it's information from the cosmos, Akashic records, or whatever, or to unblock or unlock information within yourself. You can get some very good and valuable stuff with oracle cards, but an oracle deck is not a tarot deck. That's where I'm coming from.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's not to say one is better and one is worse. It's just the two different things.
Okay. Catherine, any...
So do you see, when you say not a tarot deck, do you see that as a tarot deck is connecting to specific inner energies and those are connecting to something different, or is it just an art style thing?
Yes and no. Okay. For me, what tarot does, what any system of divination does, is a way for me to engage my left brain so that my right brain can go to work. What a picture, I could read tarot. I could probably do you tarot reading with a deck of photographs. I mean, anybody could. Anybody who knows how to get to the picture and get the information that way. Because all they are symbols. Is what is the symbol triggering in your consciousness? I don't go with book meanings for the cards. I think it's because every book has a different meaning. Every reader has a slightly different interpretation. Most readers, I mean, there may be certain commonalities. I don't think anybody really thinks that the Three of Swords is a happy card. However, James Wanless, I will show you what the Three of Swords is. And it's a very happy card indeed. Because... How do we get this back? Come on. already.
Throwing stuff all over. Oh, you're dropping stuff over there.
In his deck. Hey, the Three of Swords isn't swords at all. And it's the Three of Crystals. Crystals have to do with the mind. The card is called Creativity, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's a good card to get in your reading, and not a sucky card. Every deck, to me, has its different energies. What a card means in one deck is not necessarily going to be what that same card in a different deck means, because the picture is different, the energy is different. The energy of the deck as a whole is different. The energy of the card is different.
Interesting.
So what we tell when we teach people to read, many people will tell you how to read. Go out and study the cards. Don't bother with the book. Don't look at the book. Don't touch the book until you've formed a relationship with the cards. And you've meditated on each card individually. And you've connected with it. And you've gotten a good idea of what that card means to you in that deck. Then later on, you can go back and read the book. So, what was your original question? I forgot. I got off on a tangent.
Oracle and tarot.
Yeah.
They're pulling from, different energy, different...
The energy comes from within you and without you, whatever it is that you're reading, whether you're reading tea leaves, whether you're reading tarot, whether you're reading oracle decks, whether you're reading runes, whatever it is that you are reading. Your information is coming from the same source.
Okay.
You could call it the collective unconscious. You could call it inner wisdom. You could call it the Akashic records. You could call it the ether. You could call it telepathy. You could call it whatever it is. You're getting information from a non-linear, non-obvious source. All your agent of divination does, whatever your tool is to help you unlock your intuitive faculties so that you can read, so that you can tap into that information source. But it's essentially the same thing in the sense that the cosmos is the same thing. So it doesn't matter whether it's an oracle deck or a tarot deck that you're using, or crystal ball or tea leaves or what.
More so just what's called to you that you connect with.
Right, exactly. To intuit that inner wisdom.
I look at that picture, and that says nothing to me.
No, it says nothing to you. It says a lot to me.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because you probably don't relate to this deck.
Okay. That brings up another question. The four suits in common mainstream decks, we know swords, coins or pentacles, cups, and rods, wands, staff, whatever. What's your opinion on the fact that some of the newer decks, like this Voyager, have different names for the suits or different symbols? I mean, I should have brought it with me, the Wonderland Tarot, which the suits are top hats, peppermills, flamingos, and oysters. It's an unusual deck. I've never actually tried to do a reading with it. But point is, the suits have different images associated with them. What's your take on that?
That one seems to be pushing the envelope pretty hard. This deck has just elemental suits, earth, air, fire, and water, which map pretty, and those map pretty standardly to the traditional suits. Those have their elemental correspondences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are sort of interchangeable.
Okay.
That they're standing for the same symbol.
All right.
When you get further out than that, I'm not sure.
Okay. Chanel, in the Voyager Tarot, what are the other suits? Obviously, you said that the swords is crystals.
Swords are crystals. Worlds are pentacles. Basically, it's about your four standard weapons, what they call the four elemental weapons of ceremonial magic. Your weapons basically being tools. The cup for water, the sword for air, which water has to do with the emotions. Mm-hmm. The sword for air, which has to do with the intellect, the mental stuff, at least the way it's understood now, and I'll go into what Wade actually did, or what I think it was this other magus did 200 years before Wade to try to confuse things. But pentacles being earth, things that are manifest on the earth plane, physical things, your body, your job, your money, your work, your health, things that are manifest on the physical plane, that's pentacles. These wands being energetic things that are connected with fire and also connected with spirit, creativity, dynamic will, action, energy, personal power, sexuality, creativity. These are all things that are associated with wands. And air, swords, air, and cups, water, emotions. Now, about 200 years ago, and I forget, once again, I forget if how the story goes, if it was Arthur Edward Waite who did this back at the turn of the 19th, 20th century, or whether it was this other mage, I forget his name, 200 years ago who did it. They thought they were going to be cute in their own ceremonial magic order. Everybody knew, all the initiates knew, that swords were fire and wands were air. That's the way it had always been. But when this guy was disclosing the secrets, he figured, for whatever reason, this is the way the story goes, that he'd give away the secrets, but he wouldn't give away all of them. So he said that wands were fire and swords were air. Flip-flopped the meanings of wands and swords. All four elements go back to Arthur, King Arthur, in the quest of the Holy Grail. Okay, so you had, he was given the sword Excalibur, and then when his knights all got bored after 20 years apiece, the other four elemental weapons, the Grail, the Peyton, and the Lance, were all hidden, and the quest for the Holy Grail, the quest went out to find those other three weapons to complete the set. So that's where that all goes back to originally. And so anyway, they flip-flop the wands and the swords, the meanings of the wands and the meanings of the swords. And yet, after 100 years, or what might be 300 years, of people reading tarot, seeing wands as fire and swords as air, they took on their own energy that was true on the inner planes, because so many people put thought form energy into believing that, that became the standard nowadays. So, as long as you have, there's a purpose for each, there's a purpose for all of the suits, you see, there's a purpose for everything, there's a purpose for the major arcana, there's a purpose for the minor arcana, there's a purpose for the people cards. The major arcana cards are the archetypes. The soul's journey through the archetypes. Each major arcana card is an archetype in and of itself. Experiences, growing things, growing pains, personas, personifications, actions, gestalts that we have to pass through in order to grow. And I can go into detail about this if you like, but we don't really have a lot of time. The minor arcana cards are how we deal with life situations on life's terms. And each number has a meaning. And generally we read it in groupings. 1, 2, 3 is an early group. Where are you in a given cycle, in a given stage? 1, 2, 3, early stages. 4, 5, 6, middle stages. 7, 8, 9, later stages. 10, the ending of one cycle, the beginning of another. The people cards or the family cards or the court cards, your pages or your children, is you're approaching that energy anew. It's either you, where are you personally in a stage, or what are the energies that you're experiencing, where are you in your development, or what kind of people are in your life, or what kind of roles are you playing in the situation. See, you've got the children experiencing their element anew for the first time. The knights or the men or the apprentice or whoever, young people ages 20s through 30s, and their keynote is they're on a quest. They're journeymen. They're on a quest to master their element. Your queens or your women or your guardians or wherever, these are people, the age energy is 40s through 60s. people who have been experienced in their element and they're outdoing their element in the community. Your elders or your sages or your kings, ages 70 and past, this is elder, teacher, they've retired from active work, they're concerned with with being a conduit for the energy of that element and the wisdom of that element from what went before, from the previous generations and passing it on to the next generation. So that's your court or your people cards. And a traditional tarot deck is structured that way for a reason.
Okay. Do you, thinking about all of the, as you put it, the clones of the White Rider and the less less synonymous, the differing decks, do you think that this is a good thing, or would we be better off just ignoring all of the new decks and sticking with the traditional ones? Catherine, do you have a take on this?
I think it depends on how much thought and study that has gone into the non-traditional deck. If it's simply somebody who really has a very superficial concept of what you're doing and has drawn some pretty pictures, they're not very useful. If they're doing something that actually does connect to those thought forms successfully, then, you know,
okay,
that's fine. And some of them are building their own thought forms, and that's a, I think that that's mostly a good thing. I've picked up at least one deck that connected to its own thought forms, and they weren't something I wanted in my space.
Okay. Any questions, comments, input?
Oh, with the Happy Squirrel Tarot, or with the Happy Squirrel, is that just in addition to the Major Arcana? Like, is it just considered, or where does that come in, I guess?
Okay, Happy Squirrel, I believe, this is what I've been told, was something that showed up on an episode of The Simpsons.
Right, yeah.
Okay, where Lisa was getting married and had a reading done and freaked out when the death card came up and was told, oh, don't worry, that's just change. And then the Happy Squirrel card came up and that was apparently something horrendous.
That's what freaked out the reader, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the idea, I'm not sure how that idea developed into this panel. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, because there are about easily half a dozen other decks that the makers thought, well, what the heck, why not, and threw a Happy Squirrel card in among their own, in other words, a 79th card,
mm-hmm,
into their decks with that thing in mind, but you know they're still not agreeing about what the thing means, and you know that's the whole debate. You know, what are you going to do with it? Is this a good thing to do or not? You know, adding things. It's not the first time that somebody has added decks to a what started out to be a tarot deck, but just threw in extra things of their own. But it seems to have the most, the widest dissemination in the popular mind because of having been on television and all that. And now that people are seeing them indexed, they're going, okay, now this is something we need to talk about.
I know the Hanson Robert deck, which I have used for years, does have an extra card. It's marked as To All Believers.
Yes, I know. I got
and it shows a woman holding a curtain aside. And that's where it says, To All Believers. I tend to use it as an indicator that either the client is not ready to hear what the cards have to say, or the universe hasn't decided on this particular topic. So, no, it's not in the standard
It's not even listed as a card. It's just a filler, you know, a pretty filler, but people do use it.
No, actually, I think it is listed in the book.
Is
but
it really?
Yeah.
I'll have to double check the book.
but in any case, that's an extra card that is added, and I find it very useful. It doesn't come up all that often. But, again, it serves a purpose. I don't know what other decks have added extra cards like that. There have to be others. Anyone know of any?
There are extra cards in the Medicine Woman deck. There are extra cards in the Gaian Tarot deck. And they can be used for as significator cards. That's one use for them.
Mm.
Yeah, I've seen a couple where they supplied a blank card with the idea that you would draw it on it yourself and mm-hmm. make something personal to add to your deck.
Yeah, the Nibor Tarot has that. Nibor will, for a fee, create your own significator card, or he would in the past. Nibor is a pagan artist who designed about 10, 12 years ago a very interesting deck.
And I wish he'd do a non-limited edition of it, because I just can't justify the money for the limited edition, but it's a beautiful deck. I'd love to play with it.
I remember when he was first, God, it has to be, what, 20, 30 years ago when he was first starting to work on that deck, and he was having the artwork for it on display in art shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at least that long. I remember seeing it in the mid-80s.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Do you know offhand, you said that, what was it, Medicine Woman Tarot has...
Yeah.
Do you know what the extra cards are offhand?
Off the top of my hand, there's a card that shows the medicine wheel of the seasons, just in the top. And there's a card, and it says, there's a little bit of an inspirational verse, and it says, let the reading begin. The second card, I think, is about the deck itself. I'm trying to remember, because I always take those, when I lay out my cards to read, I always take those cards out separately, and I just put them in a pouch and lay them on the table, but I don't actually use them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Catherine, any thoughts?
The cards like that I've always sort of taken to be sort of packaging and set aside.
Well, in a physical sense, they are, because... I guess it has to do with the way that the cards are laid out in order to be cut. And there's just, you know, that's the way the sheet comes out. You know, there's, you know, 80 cuts. And so they usually have one for a title card and then one for either a blank or an advertising card, or if the artist wanted to make a 79th design or an 80th design that they want to design the title card to, they do, like Hanson Roberts. And... So it's like, okay, they could either add something to it, make a pretty piece of art, or just, you know, let the publisher put what they want on it.
Mm.
That's just the physical realities of the publishing.
Some of them throw in a reference card in one of those spaces, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, here's a quick crib sheet for the layout.
Quick question. So I know you guys had mentioned that you have particular decks that you use more often than others. How did you become more drawn to that deck?
It's entirely subjective.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are people who read rigorously from the, you know, the Kabbalistic symbolism and the numbers and so forth and memorize them. And I looked at that system and I was like, I can't do that. And I went, as Shannara said, looked through a whole lot of decks until I found some where the art talked to me. And I use this one. I tried the Merlin Tarot. The book makes a whole lot of sense for me, is conceptually talking about, as she said, the cycle of personal development. And the only way I can read with that is to just pull out the majors and read with them. As soon as I throw in the court cards and the number cards, I get nothing. The other one I've used is a deck called the Arcus Arcanum, which is a sort of vaguely Germanic-flavored version of Rider-Waite. The cards are mostly standard with a few differences. Like, the chariot has Thor with his goats instead of the standard image. And that was the first one I picked up that just, the art talked to me. You know, they have an individual illustration for every single card. Mm-hmm. It's not one of these where they just did the majors and the court cards mm-hmm. and then slapped numbers on the minor.
Yeah.
And it's entirely personal and subjective. You just got to look at a lot of them and see what talks to you.
Mm-hmm. It's more difficult nowadays because there are thousands of decks out there. When I learned how to read, there were three main decks that you could get. One was the Tarot of Marseille, and that was the very first deck that I ever picked up and totally confused me because in Tarot of Marseille, this is one of your earlier types of decks, the only cards that actually have pictures depicting what's going on are the Major Arcana and the Court cards. The Minor Arcana just has that number of, say, four swords or two pentacles or whatever. It doesn't show you a picture. It just shows you, the picture just shows that number of the objects.
It's similar to modern playing cards.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the ancestors of modern playing cards.
Exactly. They're the ancestors of modern playing cards, or they should say, they're, and that was what I first got to read. And I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't read with it. I was 12 years old, remember. And finally, on the book that I had gotten was Waits, the Pictorial Key to the Tarot, and I was very confused as to why the cards I had in my hand didn't match the pictures and the descriptions that he was talking about. Because I had Tarot Marseille, and he was writing about his own tarot. So then, shortly after that, I did get a Waite tarot, as they were called back then. Ryder was the publisher, Arthur Edward Waite was the conceptualist, Pamela Coleman Smith was the artist who drew the cards. So now we call them Rider Waite Smith, but back then they didn't give her any credit. Even though she was a brilliant artist, and she ended up dying in poverty and obscurity because she was not famous in her own time. She was a ceremonial magic person, too. So that's the deck I taught myself to read with, because it was basically the Tarot of Marseille, Waite, Rider Waite Smith, or a third deck, which was the Thoth Tarot that was conceptualized by Aleister Crowley and drawn by Lady Freda Harris. And the symbolism in that was Crowley's own take on whatever it was that he was doing in the ceremonial magic orders. So I never related to the Thoth deck, but actually James Wanless, who created the Voyager deck, he liked the Thoth deck, and that was his own inspiration for doing the Voyager deck. So it's very subjective. I read with the Rider deck for 20 years. I discovered this deck, Voyager, when I met my eventual husband, who's now crossed to the Summerlands, and I was trying to figure out what would he like in the way of what would he like for Yule or birthday present. And I saw these cards in an occult shop, a metaphysical shop, and I said, aha, well, he's Wiccan, he's of a irrational scientific mind, he might enjoy these. So I got a deck, and I got, back then it was VHS tapes that Wanless had made to go with learning the deck, and I didn't have a TV, but he did, so I got him a deck, and I got him the tapes so he could learn the majors, he could learn the minors, and I was so taken with the deck, I got one for myself also, and I ended up working with that a great deal. I also, when I was started to work on a shamanic path, I found a deck called the Medicine Woman deck by Carol Bridges, which was very, very healing and very inspirational. It was about people, all kinds of people, doing tribal things and existing in a tribal context. And all of her cards told a story, too. So these are the three decks I've worked with a lot. For a while, I was working with another new deck, but I'm not working with that anymore. So it's, where are you? What do you relate to? What speaks to you? And you may have to go through an awful lot of decks to find one that speaks to you. And you may keep discovering a new favorite. You never know.
For me, I started with what I call a cheater version of Rider Waite. Because in addition to the images, underneath it had a couple of lines of text describing the meaning of the card. Used that for several years. And then I found the Morgan Greer Tarot, which I got very good results with. Used one deck so much that I wore the finish off the cards.
Nice.
Bought another deck, which was interesting because there was one time I was sitting there looking to pull a significator for a reading I was doing for someone, and came across the High Priestess, and it wasn't the right card, so I kept going and kept going and came across the High Priestess, and wait a minute. Mm-hmm. There were, for some reason, two High Priestesses in that deck. I used that deck for several years. My current deck is the Hanson Roberts deck, which I had, someone had shown me at one point, and I thought it was nice. And then all of a sudden, I was going into bookstores, and I kept bumping into that deck and the book that went with it. And I figured, all right, I can tell when the universe is trying to knock me upside the head. And I bought the book and I bought the deck because I know now a lot of, some people say not to use the book, to just go with your intuition. I can understand that, and it's one good way to do it. But I also like to look at the book for the particular deck because it sometimes gives me an idea of what the designers, creators of the deck, intended when they put certain imagery on the cards. I read what their slant is. I may not use their meanings, but I feel it gives me a little bit more background. But along the way, I also tried using the, I think it was Tarot of the Cat People. It looks very much like the deck that was used in the James Bond movie. And I used that for a while, and all of a sudden something happened and I couldn't use it anymore. I gave it away. And then there was, I think, an Egyptian tarot deck, which I bought it, I tried, and it just never clicked. Gave that one away. I think that sometimes decks or other objects will use you as a conduit to get to someone else.
I agree.
And now, after this weekend, I'm starting to think about buying or creating more of an oracle-type deck for myself to work with. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, mainly be patient. And it'll. There's just so many of them out there, and I was intrigued with them, but I didn't know if I should just get one and play with it, and or just wait until one
falls into your lap.
Yeah.
You can go to a tarot website, tarot.com, for example. A lot of them have several different decks or hundreds of different decks and have the cards shown. And you can look among the sample or display cards on the web and see, oh, is this something I'd like to explore further?
Yeah,
then if you've got... Yeah, if you've got a metaphysical shop in your area, some of them have sample decks out that you can look through the cards.
Or you can look
Eclectic
through
Eclectic Tarot
people's
is
decks.
Another good site.
Yeah.
Because,
there's decks. She's got decks. You've got decks. I've got one there that's on my wish list. Mm. And I've got a bunch of decks down the hall. I didn't bring them in here, but they're over in the dealer's room. I can show
you if you want to
look.
Also, if you have a local tarot community, get in touch with them in D.C. In Washington, D.C., we have the D.C. Tarot Society. It's whoever wants to come. They get together for lunch every month. Usually it's the first Saturday of the month over at a specific location. And it's open to anybody who has some experience and some understanding with tarot, and then people will bring their decks and they'll pass around and they'll share their decks and everybody will order lunch and everybody will pay for their own lunch or whatever they want to eat. And then one person will do a presentation, and then afterwards everybody reads for each other, just free of charge. And it's $2 to show up, and then you pay for whatever you eat. But that's an opportunity to get to see other decks, because everybody will bring their decks, everybody will bring their favorite decks, and most people in that milieu are willing to pass them around for people to look at. Not everybody. Some people are not willing to let anybody handle the decks except themselves.
Okay.
It's individual.
It's almost 11 o'clock. I tend to like to end the classes a little bit early to give people a chance to get to their next class. And especially since 11 o'clock is checkout time for the hotel.
Yeah.
So do we have any final thoughts on the idea of the happy squirrel?
This is a little askew, so I'm not sure if it's really appropriate here. But
go for it.
And you have an app there. Mm. How do you guys feel about using technology in reading? Is an app just for reference? Would you actually use it to do a layout and then read the results?
Only in a very informal way, and for me, if I'm reading for somebody else, I read with the cards.
Yes.
However, it has been known, I have been known to read, now we have Skype, which is a wonderful tool. Okay, I've done, some of my clients call up and they want telephone readings. I don't like doing telephone readings, but if the client can't come in, I will do a telephone reading. Because I like my clients to handle the cards, shuffle the cards, pick out the cards, and I like the body language, I like the interaction, I like the auric stuff. If I have to do a phone reading, I will. I have Skype on my home phone. I've done Skype readings, swapped Skype readings with somebody else. Second place. This app, I only basically use it for my own reference. I wouldn't inflict it on somebody else unless it's an emergency. You need a reading. We don't have decks with us. There's an urgent question that's coming up. You need to know. Okay, fine. Let's see what it does. But there are... It's not just apps, but some of the websites that you go to will have pick a card on the website. It's kind of a streamlined efficiency. It's like the difference between maybe eating fast food and cooking a meal yourself.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. I haven't loaded a tarot app onto my phone yet. I haven't found one that's free that I like. I don't want to pay for it. Mm. And I would do it more for the amusement value rather than actually doing a reading that way. I've done a couple of IM readings. I was talking with a friend via an instant messenger, and I did a reading for her that way. So I suppose, you know, I've used technology in that way. I've done a class online in a chat room. Technology has a place, I think, as long as you don't lose the human contact.
I was extremely dubious of the concept of the web-generated card layout. And I think... I still am dubious of the web-generated version. But because I'm enough of a programmer that I know how you do random number generation on a computer, and it's not random, mathematically speaking. That made me very doubtful. But I picked up this program, tarot reading program, as a kind of a gag gift for a friend for Christmas. It was $5. It would run on his Mac. And it turned out it had the ability to load your own deck into it if you could scan the pictures.
Mm, nice.
And then it would generate a standard, you know, Celtic cross layout with whatever deck you chose or loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know, it was $5. It was going to be a joke. Mm. And he came back and said he got very good, accurate readings out of it. And that... surprised me a great deal. Then I stopped and said, well, I mean, a deck is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
A computer, your computer is a tool. Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, a relationship with your computer the way you have a relationship with your, you know, your paintbrush if you're an artist or whatever, then I guess it should work.
All right.
So. Thank you.
For some people, it does.
Thank you to my fellow panelists.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lois. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you to our wonderful audience.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was late. I was checking out and all that.
Oh, gee, horrors. Mm-hmm.
I know. But I had to miss all the other tarot panels this convention because there was too many other things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm still going to get you up here teaching with me one of these days.
That'll be good.
I'm just a kibitz, so you know I'm just a kibitz.
What are you, a small farm in Israel?
Are you kidding? I've got a black thumb. This is one of the things that's been on my wish list for a while, and I see you have one. That's what's going to
be. Actually, that's Chippicons.
She
has one, yes.
Housewife, yeah. I've seen this thing. I've seen the whole thing online, as a matter of fact, and I'm in love with it. I just have to get a copy.
Oh.
It's a riot. Yes. If you grow up in the 50s and 60s, which is where images like this are drawn from.
Yeah.
And you know, some of them are downright tongue in cheek, but they're just so darn.
They're good.
They're really good images.
I think
the one Catherine showed me was very politically incorrect.
Well, it was in those days. That's how we grew up.
All right.
One of these. What is this one? That's
pretty. I want to return these to Chippicon.
Oh, these are all hers. Okay.
Yes, these are all hers.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm tempted to stick around and look.
If you wanted to, because I've got about a third of my collection over in the dealer's room. If you like cats, they got the Los Caraveo has a recent one in the last couple of years called Tarot of Pagan Cats, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
There are some decks that they're gorgeous. I buy them as art.
I won't read with them.
Uh-huh. But you know, the thing with Pagan Cats is it is RWS based, but it is the imageries are just this is green. And some of them, some of the cards are kind of paired, which you discover when you go through the decks. You say, wait a minute.